So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that cider. This was in the home
The home cider makers category. Category for ice cider.
In Franklin County Fair, or was it the Cider Days?
Cider Days.
And so you, how did you win that? Because this was before you became commercial.
Yeah.
In 2014, you said.
Yep. Yeah, it was the 2014 competition. So, you know, we were trying to decide if we wanted to do this commercially. And the goal was to essentially put a cider out there and see if it would win a gold medal. And that would sort of justify to us, okay, maybe we do know what we're doing here. And so, yeah, I just, you know, I was speaking earlier about reverse engineering a bunch of ice ciders.
Right.
We went out and we found the numbers for what would be a great ice cider. And then when we went to Franklin County Cider Days in 2013 and tried all of the ciders, or maybe it was 2012, we tried all of the ciders at the Cider Salon.
Yeah.
And we came to Eden's Northern Spy Barrel-Aged Ice Cider.
Yeah.
It just blew our minds. We were saying, oh my goodness, this is what we were looking for.
Yes, right on.
People will get into this even if they don't like the dry stuff.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make an ice cider and have it as a product. And it said it right there, Northern Spy, right on the bottle. So we knew what apple to use. We weren't getting very creative back then. But
did you do barrel aging on that one?
I did not. We have a barrel right now going of this.
You do? Okay, I was wondering if you're doing any barrel aging. Yeah, gotta love that.
Oh, it was so good. I could not. I mean, I'll probably end up drinking half of it for myself, but.
Well, hey.
No, we'll sell some. But for the ice cider, we knew that Northern Spy would make a good ice cider because we just drank one and it was fantastic.
Mm.
And, you know, we had to find the numbers that we were looking for, which essentially, when you're making a single variety cider, you don't have too much leeway with. Ours came out really acidic, so I did use 71B, the malic acid reducing yeast.
Yeah, love that 71B.
Yeah, and so I wasn't too sure how to control it, but I ended up freezing and thawing, I think it was 120 gallons, and we made 3 45-gallon batches or somewhere around there. We might have even frozen more than that to get 45 gallons, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you get a 4-to-1 reduction if you really do it right.
15 gallons, yeah, 4-to-1. For 4 gallons to get 1 gallon?
Yep. Yeah, you end up.
I thought you needed more than 4 gallons. But
it depends if you.
What the cider is.
If you thaw it right above freezing, the water likes to stay as ice. A lot of people, when they make ice cider at home, I think they'll freeze their cider, pull it out, and do it on the countertop or something.
Yeah.
But the water at 65 degrees is going to start melting too. So we'll pull our cider out of a freezer and put it into a cooler at 34 degrees.
And then drop it down. And then you thaw. Brilliant.
Yeah, it takes a week to thaw that way, but we leave clear bricks of ice behind and get everything that we can.
Amazing tip there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we started, the first batch we ever did with Franklin County Cider Days was 5-to-1, but we get that down to 4-to-1, no problem now. And if you have crazy sugary cider, you can do 3-to-1 if you really, really try.
Good tip. Yep. Good tip to know, because I haven't played with ice ciders.
We never even talked about how to stop an ice cider fermentation.
How do you stop an ice cider fermentation?
All right.
I really want to know that.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, this...
Did you want to talk to this young lady here?
Oh, I'll say hi to Nikki later.
Okay.
I saw her a couple days ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just best friends for a long, long time.
Cool.
So for ice cider, there's a couple ways you can make them. You can make them sulfite-free. Mm-hmm. You can make them with sulfites. You can make them with sulfite and sorbate, sterile filtration. There's a whole range of ways to stop the fermentation. Mm-hmm. And I think probably what a lot of people are aiming to do is they're aiming for a strong and healthy fermentation down to their target gravity, and then they're racing to stop it on time. Where gravity bricks, there's the beer talking. But what I like to do is I like to have our ice cider barely trickling along by the time it's ready to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I do not
want
it. You
talked about the yeast.
Yeah.
That's what you mentioned earlier. You're picking a yeast
mm-hmm.
that kind of basically trickles out once it goes.
Yeah, it stresses, and we really have to watch hydrogen sulfide formation. As it's stressed, it does tend to produce a lot.
Yeah.
But
how do you manage that then?
Well, you know, you can, and we really try to avoid this, you can use copper fining for hydrogen sulfide.
Mm.
Not cool, really.
Yeah.
But also, you know, watch your nutrients really, really closely when you're doing that. So we rehydrate with GoFirm Protect when we pitch, and we do a very large pitch for our ice ciders, just about double the yeast that you would for a normal cider. Because once you get above 35 bricks, that cider is toxic to yeast. They're going to die the moment you dump them in. So you need a lot.
Because of the alcohol content in there. That's what
I'm
talking about.
Yeah, the osmotic differential or whatever the fancy words are that I'm trying to say. But
you're a self-taught cider maker, but were you like, did you study science in...
No, I have a degree in fruit and vegetable crops.
Well, that there's a lot of science in that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I just loved chemistry since I was born,
yeah,
pretty
that
much.
That is perfect. Yeah, you're set up as a great career here.
But we do a large pitch, and then we'll do that with rehydration nutrients. 24 hours after that, we will add Fermade O to the blend. And typically you'll add 1.5 grams per gallon of Fermade O. But the Scott Labs, who sells that, used to recommend you do that at 30% completion of fermentation. They changed their recommendations now, and they say 24 hours after pitch, add half of that, add 0.75 grams per gallon. And then at 30% completion, use the other 0.75 grams to do a divided dose, because Fermade O breaks down slowly, and it takes time for the yeast to utilize what's in there versus DAP or Fermade K, which act a little bit faster.
Yep.
And so we'll do that first half dose, 24 hours after pitch. But what we're going to do is at 30% completion, we will not add the other 0.75 grams because we're stopping the cider early and I don't need it to ferment to completion. So I will take the remaining 60% of fermentation, 70% that needs to occur, and I will deduct my final bricks from that. And I will calculate what percentage of the remaining bricks actually is going to ferment. And oftentimes it's something like 30% of the sugar that's left in here needs to ferment. So I will take 30% of that 0.75 gram dose and add that to the cider. And once we get within 2 bricks of our target, it really starts to struggle. It does not have enough to go. And so by the end, our ice cider takes about 6 months to make, because by the last few weeks, we're fermenting point...
The yeast is hanging on
like
a cat.
We're fermenting 0.1 bricks per day.
Right.
And we watch that to make sure it's really steadily going along, because when it goes so slowly and the yeast are stressing, you risk them autolysing and the pH rising to a point where you can't stabilize it.
Absolutely. Yep.
So we keep an eye on that and bump up the temperature and add some special stuff, like Scott Labs sells this thing called Rescue, which pulls poisonous fats out of, or fatty acids out of your wine or cider. And in this winter, actually, our pH did start to rise to a point where I wasn't comfortable with it. And we did use a dose of Rescue, and it dropped it right down and helped the fermentation continue healthily.
Good tip again.
Yep.
Yeah, lots of good tips there.
So when we're approaching our target, which is generally it's going to be 15 bricks, we'll just drop the temperature in the tank down to 34 Fahrenheit. And we can stop that fermentation immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, if we warm it back up again, it just never restarts.
But that's good, because that's hard to get a stable ice cider for folks who are trying it at home, you know. And if you take it out of the refrigerator, it starts re-fermenting.
Yeah.
And
so, you know, the guys up in Quebec that do not use sulfites, I'm pretty sure that they just leave it frozen or refrigerated at the end of fermentation up to 9 months just to kill off any yeast that are in there. We only leave it cold for a couple of weeks, and we do use sulfites to stabilize our cider, and we sterile filter.
Great.
And we actually add sorbate as well. But below the recommended dose and below the flavor threshold. But, you know, sorbate effectiveness is to some extent pH dependent, but mostly based on the alcohol content. And with an ice cider, where ours is 12.5%, we can get away with using something below the sensory threshold. And you do have to watch sorbates in particular. Over about 6 months, they'll start to break down and taste like celery.
Yeah.
They're weird. And
People really try to avoid sorbate for that.
Yeah, we made a batch of ice cider a few years ago and used sorbate in it. And even today, we cannot taste the sorbate. If you use little enough, unless you are an expertly trained palate, which I hate to say this for our customers, but they are not, they're not going to taste it, even in 4 years. So the ice cider will continue to age and improve despite that. But for something lighter, I think that's where people really run into the problems, because there's so much going on in ice cider. It, like any sweet something, it's going to cover up flaws. So it's just such a high-value product. It sells for $25 a bottle, and it takes 6 months to make, and we can only do it once a year. I cannot afford to have it explode in the bottles.
No, you can't.
For what I submitted to Franklin County Cider Days, there was no sorbate in that.
Mm.
It was sulfited, probably not even properly, because I was still learning how to make cider.
Because you knew it was going to be drank right at that point.
If they all blew up, it didn't matter, because it was mine.
Right, a little bit different.
I didn't have to answer to customers.
Yeah, no, it's a whole different whole different scope at that point.
Yeah, so for the one I made at home, we let the fermentation trickle. We stopped it by dropping it into a freezer here at the farm, or a really cold refrigerator, essentially, and then sulfited it and sterile-filtered it and put it in bottles, and it was fine. And it's still fine. I have bottles years later now that are still absolutely delicious.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful presentation. We're going to be tasting some of that later on.
Oh, definitely.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm excited to hear about the barrels, too. So I'm just going to say, you know, you just started going commercial on May. Being the scientific dude that you are, I can't wait to talk to you 5-10 years down the line and see where you are, because this is science, and art and science are in unison in many ways. You know, there's if you didn't have the passion, the passion is the art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
I don't just want to say that.
I cannot say that there is no art to this, but to me, the art is picking the flavors you want. It's the creative side.
Well, how hard is that? I mean, there's sommeliers, and then there are good sommeliers. There's good cider makers, and then there is damn good cider makers. And it's all about the blend and knowing and going out into the orchard and biting into the apple and saying, okay, this one is ready to pick now.
Yeah.
And because you're here, you get to do that. You're not, writing my juice order and getting it in and then, you know, not knowing when those apples are picked. Yeah, it's a really different product, orchard-based cideries.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure.